We had a text rolling over there before. No, it's all right. I'll read it from here. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's Romans 12 from the Message Bible. But you're probably more used to hearing it in a slightly different version. And the bookmark ain't there. That's all right. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Just think on that, because we're going to come back to it towards the end. I want to look at some other things. What we're made of, what we are, and I don't just mean carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen and sulfur. Mind, will and emotion, body, spirit. Any of the younger generation here, tell me what a soul is. Now, you've heard the word many times, surely. Who hasn't heard the word soul? Everyone's heard of it. What is it? Describe your soul. No one amongst the younger generation going to have a stab at it? Come on. That's S-O-L-E.
Not the mental aspect of you that is your mind and what you believe and what you are.
Getting onto it, yes, that's part of it.
Is there a dictionary definition of soul?
There is. The mind, the will and the emotions. And the Greek word for soul is psuche, psyche, from which we get psychology, which is delving into the soul of a person. A psychologist deals with the soul, the mind, the will and the emotions of a person. Now, what's the mind? It's separate from the will and the emotions. Come on. Your brain? Your brain is part of your body.
The thinking part.
Thinking part. How about a dictionary definition? The element, part, substance or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges, etc. The intelligence, intellect or understanding. In psychology, it is the totality of conscious and unconscious mental processes. That's the mind. That's part of your soul. Now, the will, and I don't mean the piece of paper that someone leaves when they're dying. Choices.
Decision making.
Well, Helena likes dictionary definitions. The faculty of conscious and especially deliberate action. The power of control that the mind has over its own actions. The freedom of the will. Two parts of the soul. The third part, the emotions. Would anyone like to hazard a definition for emotions?
Touchy-feely part.
The touchy-feely part. Oh. Yes. Well, the dictionary definition, an affective state of consciousness in which joy, sorrow, fear, hate, love, or the like is experienced. Now, those three together make up the soul. So if someone says they've sold their soul to the devil, what have they done? They've sold their mind, their will, and their emotions. If you give your soul to God, what are you giving? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the thing is, the soul is the eternal part of our beings. That is what lasts from the time you're created, before you're born, until eternity. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But we are more than just mind, will, and emotions, aren't we? We're bodies, flesh and blood, the carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and sulfur. Or the dictionary definition, the physical structure and material substance of an animal or plant, living or dead. Now, what's the glue that holds these two together? The spirit. The principle of conscious life. The vital principle in humans animating the body and mediating or connecting between body and soul. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Physical creation. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Breath. How did that make man a living soul? You know what the Greek word for breath is? Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneumatic. Has to do with wind. And actually, the Greek word for wind is also pneuma. When God breathed into man his spirit, pneuma, spirit, breath, they are the same word, wind. When God breathed into man, man became a living soul, an eternal soul. That makes us pretty important, doesn't it, in God's eyes, because he has breathed his life into all of us. But then, if we read the Genesis account, we find that there was something else called temptation. Now, up until temptation, Adam and Eve served God. Then the devil came along and tempted through the area of the spirit of man, where the senses or sensations are. The effect was in the soul, because spirit connects body and soul. Rebellion of man and body, death of man. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. The soul, however, lives on. It is eternal. And it is the soul that is judged and damned or saved. Now, how does this fit in with Romans 12? Present your body as a living sacrifice. That is a command to us, and it involves an act of will initially. We make a choice to present ourselves to God. The term body in Romans actually has the sense of the complete person, not just the flesh and blood, the completeness of the person. In other words, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is a one-way thing, isn't it? You can't give a sacrifice and take it back, because then it's not a sacrifice. God wants us to present ourselves totally under him. We go back to the title of tonight's message, Who Owns You? And I'll say you are owned by whomever you serve. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered in, they served God. They were owned by God. But then came sin and rebellion. And then, with the disobedience, came serving Satan. Rebellion against God. Now, how does this affect us today? Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Do you serve your peer group? Are you controlled by your peer group? There's that terrible word, peer. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't just stay with young people. It goes with you right through life. Although I heard an account of a woman in her 90s who was asked, how do you get on with your peer group? She said, I don't worry about them anymore, most of them are dead. But God wants us to be sold out to him. Present ourselves to God. And you know, if you go back into the Greek, it is actually that the words are in the imperative. So they are commands. And it also continues on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is in the present passive imperative tense. So it's present, it's acting now. It's imperative in that it's a command, and it's passive in that it's you allowing it to be done to you. There's an act of will coming from the soul in the first place to submit. Then it's Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mould, but be transformed. And you'll recognise the word that is the root word of transformed. It's metamorphosis. How many of you have seen what happens to a caterpillar before it becomes a moth or a butterfly? It spins a cocoon. It undergoes a process called metamorphosis. And it has no control over it. It just goes through the process. It's a passive thing. God wants us to be changed passively. To submit ourselves to him and be changed. I'd also like to look at a verse from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Be holy, says God, because I am holy. And that's in the imperative. It's a command. Be holy. Now, years ago, when I was about your age, I'm talking to the younger ones here, I heard a student from Moore College quote this passage. And he said, it's like standing on the edge of a swimming pool. And the swimming pool says, if you jump into me, you're going to be wet. Because I'm wet. God says, if you jump into me, you're going to be holy. Because I'm holy. Who owns you? Who do you serve? God wants you to serve him. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. So that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. I pray all of you tonight will just analyse where you are, what your future is, because you can secure your future in God. Thank you.